Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Last night, it wasn't hard to preach. Night before last, it wasn't hard to preach. The anointing of God has been here, and the blessing of the Lord's been here. And even though it's just a little bit difficult to bring a message to a people when they've never been acquainted with the message, that makes it a little bit difficult because you say things and at first they don't accept them and they run off and they may stay gone through the whole revival, and then after the revival's gone, it soaks in and they'll say, "My God, what have I done? Here I've missed the opportunity." You say, "Brother Pike, can that really happen?" Well, we were out in Denver, Colorado, preaching out there, and I was preaching the message of the Lord, and there were some people that let it slip on by, and they didn't accept it. So after I left Denver, Colorado, it was about a month after that, I guess, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me to go back to Denver, Colorado. And I thought, "Lord, this is sure strange. Why should I go back to Denver, Colorado? I just have preached a revival out there, or message out there." And I said, "Now, I just don't understand why I'd have to go back. That's a long ways across the United States. And when you get tired in body from traveling to place to place, you don't get very enthused when you have to go slap back across the desert." But anyway, the Lord began to speak to my heart, and I knew I had to go. Well, I did what He told me. I didn't understand. You know, God took Philip away from a citywide revival and sent him down to one unit. If that had been a lot of people, they'd say, "Well, that couldn't be the voice of the Lord, because I got a big crowd over here and I'm having a citywide revival. He's talking about one little old unnoticed eunuch over yonder." But anyway, it was the voice of the Lord. So then I went all the way across the country till we got to Denver, Colorado. Well, when I got there, there was one lady that met us, and she had been weeping before God. And she said, "Brother Pike," was the minister's wife, "said, I've been praying that God would send you back to Denver, Colorado. That I prayed earnestly that you come here preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you declared before God that it was the truth." Well, her husband was on the contrary part, being a minister. She said, "And I believed it, that something made me believe that it was true, but said, desiring a great confirmation of God, that I said to the people, and I said to God, if this man has preached the truth, and God knows that he's preached, then God knows that he's preached the truth, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, and God will send that man all the way back to Denver, Colorado to confirm it. And before God, that's the truth. God sent me all the way back to Denver, Colorado, I suppose, on the strength of that one woman's prayer." And it really had done something to the area, because the woman had witnessed to the people that she was going to do it, having believed what we preached. And so then when we got back, of course, the church was open to us. There her husband opened a big place to us there, and we were able to minister to many people. But anyway, God has been good to us, and He has blessed us. And I'm very enthused over winning souls. I heard Brother Ben Gahili tell you tonight, the wise man Solomon said, "He that winneth souls is wise." And I believe with all of my heart that whether we have one unit to preach to, whether we have a citywide revival, I believe we ought to be just as enthused and just as enthusiastic. Now, you might say, "Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike?" Well, this is what I mean. The one unit that God sent Philip to was the eunuch of the queen. And did you know that that one eunuch, when Philip had convinced that one eunuch of the message of Christ, he was present with the king, and he was present with the queen, and he had opportunity day in and day out to commune and get that message across to the king and queen, and then the king and queen could make it a law throughout the kingdom, like they did in the days of Daniel, when the king said, "If anybody worships any other god but Daniel's God, I'll make his house a dunghill." And so then, you see how important that one eunuch was. And you never can tell. Sometimes you might be talking to an Oral Roberts, or a Billy Graham, or a Billy Branham, or Jack Coe. You never can tell. We had the privilege of preaching out in Bell Garden a little bit ago under a big gospel tent, and we had Brother Jack Coe's mother and sisters present there at our meeting. And some of the other, Brother Marcus, a great Assembly of God preacher, was present with us, and many others. But anyway, you never know who you're preaching to. Somebody somewhere one day preached, and Brother Branham and Brother Roberts and others were setting under their ministry when they declared the word of the Lord. So you never know. It might be one of God's great men that's sitting there that's going to cover the world for Christ. So then we need to be enthused. I've been trying my best to preach for about 4 weeks. This is 4 weeks of revival, and I preached hard every night. And my body is kind of tired, trying to offer a little supplication to the Lord and preaching to. If my throat, if my strength gives out, then I have to preach from my throat. And my throat don't last long. If you've ever preached from your throat, you know it don't last long. As long as you got strength, you're all right. But when your strength gives out, then you go to your throat and your throat closes up on you immediately. So tonight, I want us to give real good heed tonight. And I want to expound to you the gospel of Christ. Now these tapes go out all around the United States that we make. And down in Mexico and Canada, anywhere they're called for, we send these tapes to them. And I was just telling one of the brethren yesterday, I believe it was, that I was way out in some part of California, way back on the other side of Los Angeles, at a Church of God there, and I was preaching, and they taped the message and was supposed to send me a copy of it, and I just received a copy of it the other day after being home as long as I have from that area. And these tapes, you never know when they're going or where they're going, who's going to get them. So we try to tell just what the Lord shows us on them. All right. Last night you paid good attention and it was no trouble to teach you. We got into the mind of Christ and there came forth a teaching. And in the service tonight, I hope it'll be the same way. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So let's get in the mind of Christ. And Jesus said, my words are spirit. Let's get in the word so we can be in the spirit tonight. In Revelation chapter 13, I want to read to you tonight and see what the Lord will say to us or see if he'll give us a thought. Now, you don't know this, but many times I come on the platform and I do not know where I'm going to read. I have no scripture to read from. When I open the Bible, I open it random. I don't know where I'll go to. Many times I've done that coming on the platform. The Lord wouldn't say anything to me till I get out on the platform. There has been times when he'd speak to me ahead. And so then whatever I get, I try my best to see that it's from God, that the Lord would speak to me. Now, I know a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, just preaching anywhere from the Bible, can that really work? Well, Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the full counsel of God. You know, some people can't preach nothing but Acts 2:38. Every time they get in the pulpit, if they don't preach water baptism, they think they're backslidden. And they feel they haven't delivered their soul. And then there's some other people that get up, and every time they get up, they feel like if they don't preach healing, then they feel like they're half backslid, or others preach faith. And everybody has a pet theory, you know, unless they're really in line with God. But we don't have a hobby horse to ride. Whatever the Word says, that's what we believe. The full counsel of God, Paul said. So we're liable to start in Genesis and wind up in Revelation. But tonight, we're going to start in Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me if you like. Chapter 13, the book of Revelation. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and powers was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. All right, that's reading the entire chapter of Revelation, 13th chapter of Revelation. And I did that because it was a short chapter. And I want to complete coverage tonight on a few thoughts that I'd like to teach on tonight, the Lord being willing. I want to try to hold back just a little bit unless God pressed me, because my throat needs just a little bit of rest for the remainder of the meeting. But I want to say one or two things right here, and maybe you already understand, maybe you don't. But it says here in the 10th verse that he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Now, I don't know whether you know what that means or not. Maybe some of you do. But for the benefit of those who do not know, here he said he that leadeth into captivity, which means people that are not serving God, they are daily leading somebody into sin and into the things of the world. You are daily leading them into captivity to the powers of Satan by your life. There's somebody watching you somewhere, and Jesus said if you're leading people into captivity, someday you yourself shall go into captivity. God shall see to it that you yourself shall go into bondage. And then there was another thing that he mentioned here. The Bible said that this beast that came up out of the waters said that it blasphemed the name of God. Now, I know you might not understand this, some of you, but the name of God is Jesus Christ. He said, I come in my Father's name, and we know the Father was God. God the Spirit, John 4:24, Jesus testified to it. All right, if the Son of God said that the Spirit was God, then it said here that the beast that came up out of the waters said that this beast blasphemed the name of God, which was the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's the trouble that we're having in the church today. If the church world is coming against the name Jesus. When the Lord Jesus came to them back there in the early church, if you remember, they gave him trouble. It wasn't the worldly people that gave him trouble. He ate with the sinners and the publicans. But it was the religious group of that day that came against the name Jesus. They took Peter and Paul and they threw them in the prison and they beat them and said, don't you preach in that name anymore. And all down through the centuries, it's been the same thing, is don't preach in that name. And the Bible said that these men hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. That's a real testimony, because some people won't even hazard their ministry now. Some of these young preachers we got coming up, they're afraid it might hurt their ministry, and they won't even take a chance of hazarding their ministry for the name of Jesus Christ. But anyway, like Paul of old, I've been stranded in the desert. I've been stranded in the mountains. I've seen the time when my car was almost ready to go off a ledge because I was trying to carry the name of Jesus Christ. And with Paul, I can say that my life, as well as my family, has been hazarded for the name of Jesus Christ. And so then, I said here that the beast blasphemed the name of Jesus. You start preaching the name Jesus Christ, and somebody will pop up and they'll say, we don't want that preaching around here. We're not going to have that mess around here. We don't want that Jesus only around here. Just start preaching the name Jesus and you're going to have opposition. He said that ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There's coming a time when all of the world is going to hate you for the name of the Lord Jesus. And they said, don't you preach in that name anymore. Said, you're determined to bring this man's blood upon us. I guess that's the way they feel about me. They think I'm determined to make them guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I am. Unless you do the things that God tells you to do, he said, all of the righteous are blood. Right on down from Abel, right on down to Jesus Christ shall come upon you. They said, but we, if we had been there in the days of the prophets, we would have not partaken in the death of the prophets. But Jesus said this one thing, you know, that ye are the children of them that did kill the prophets. And he said, your forefathers killed the prophets. And said, ye are the children of them that garnished the tombs. And so then, he said, you'll be guilty of the blood. And they said, you're trying to bring this man's blood upon us because you say that we're not doing honor and obeisance unto the name of Jesus Christ the way that we ought to. So then it said this religious group that the Bible speaks of here, headed up into the beast, it says, and they blaspheme the name of God. The devil don't like the name Jesus. Because I've said this and I want to say it again, you can come together as a great multitude. You can fast, you can pray, you can shout, you can speak in tongues, you can pay tithes, you can join the church, but that doesn't mean you belong to God. You've got to be born again of the Spirit of the living God and have the name which is the family name if you ever get in as a member of the body. You got to do it through the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. And there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby you might be saved. Now, I said this the other day. Somebody said, well, I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe in it too because it's Bible. But if the Father had another name, he didn't give it for salvation. And if the Son had another name, he didn't give it for salvation. And if the Holy Ghost had another name, the Bible teaches he did not give it for salvation. So then it's not a matter of whether it's the only name or not. We know that it's the only name that's given among men whereby we must be saved. And the devil doesn't care how religious that you are just so long as you leave the name alone. Because he cannot sit in your midst if you mess around with the name. If you touch the name, he'll get on the run. Now you can shout all you want to, he'll shout with you. The Bible teaches the tares and the wheat all dance alike when the water comes down because it feeds both of them. But you start messing with the name of Jesus, and people that you never dreamed of would rise up against you, will find fault with your preaching. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, try it. You might think they're your friend. But Solomon said one time to make sure you're friend. You know how to make sure you're friend? Just start talking about the name Jesus and watch the devil get all heated up. You talk about the Bible, he don't care about that. He quoted the Word of God to Jesus Christ himself on the mountain. Took him up on a pinnacle in the city and quoted it word by word. But he wouldn't mess with the name. You can't find no record where he ever called the name. He said, we know that thou art the Son of God. We know that thou art the Holy One sent from God. But he wouldn't call his name. And so then you find the devil never would mess with the name. Is that right? The only time you can find in the whole Scripture where he ever even acknowledged the name was when the sons of Sceva come over there to cast the devil out, and they said, we do this by the Jesus that Paul preaches. He said, Jesus I know. He said, and Paul I know. He said, but I don't know who you are. I don't know nothing about you. And that's the way it is. There's no record of some folks in heaven. I know we got a lot of folks that wonder why come people ain't done discovered how great they are. And the Bible said Moses down in Egypt down there, he couldn't figure out why the brethren didn't understand that he was supposed to go down there and deliver them. He went down there and killed one of the Egyptians and committed the act of murder before them and then couldn't understand why his ministry wasn't received. Well, I tell you, if we'd get our eyes open, we'd know more about it. Some people compromise. How God's going to use you if you compromise? Somebody said, I'm depending on God. It sounds to me like you're depending on the almighty dollar. I said here a time or two, Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me. But the way people do, you think, he said, take up your offering and follow me. That's the way they usually do. So you take here, he said, and they blaspheme the name of God. They blaspheme that worthy name by which we're called. And he said, those are called by my name. And said they blaspheme the name of God. All right, notice this. We go down a little further. It says here, he spoke of the waters, and he said the waters that this beast came up out of was a great multitude of people. Is that right? Said it was a great multitude of people. He said, and the dragon, we spoke last night, or the other night, about the dragon that he took his tail and wrapped it around the third part of the stars and cast them down to the earth. And it said that the dragon had power and authority to give the beast power and authority. And then when the beast got its authority, then there was another beast that came up out of the waters having two horns, and said this beast began to make an image of the first beast that came up out of the water. And it said the first beast had the power to give that image power to speak. I want you to get this tonight. He says here, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Did you know that when the Roman powers dominated the earth, that nobody could make war with them? Did you know that I made a prediction not too long ago? I said the Pope of Rome will bring peace to this world as far as natural peace. He's going to have the power to start war or to stop war. You believe it? All right. It said, who is likened to the beast? He's got such a religious control over the people that he can say, don't fight, and he'll stop. The whole Catholic world will stand still. You say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that people would reverence one man like that? I want to ask you this question. Is it a fact that when the Pope of Rome comes to the United States, that they turned out the school and made the school children go out and greet him? Is that right? The celebrities and dignitaries of Washington went out to greet him. I still got the pictures of it in my briefcase where I cut them out of the paper. The dignitaries of Washington went out to receive a religious leader, something that they never have done before that I know of. Billy Graham, that draws teeming thousands of people, has never been able to draw a crowd like the Pope draws. The dignitaries went out to see him. Now that proves that something is going on. And one night here, if God will help me, I want to bring it out concerning the sign of his coming. But I want to bring this out tonight as best I can to them that listen and to them that are interested. Some of you will never get it. You'll never get it. But some of you are ordained to receive it. It says here he blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said he come up out of many waters, and there was an image made unto him, and that this beast had the power to cause the image to speak. Now there is an image that's going to be made. It's a religious image. You say, Brother Pike, what kind of image is it? It's an image that teaches that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost as three different gods. That's the image. That is the image of the beast. They that teach three gods, that is not the body of Jesus Christ. It's not the members of his body, but it's the image of the beast. That's a Catholic dogma. It's a Catholic teaching. It got started in 325 A.D. If you think I'm lying to you, go up to the library and check the books. Check the historical records on it, and you'll find out that nobody ever accepted such a creed until 325 A.D. They met at a little place called Nice. Now listen real close to me. They met at a little place that's called Nice. And they had a council, and they called it the Nicene Council. And they set up what they call the Nicene Creed. I got to bring these things out to get to what I want to get to tonight, so listen to me if you will. Now then, They set up the Nicene Creed. 325 A.D., it came to pass. Up until that time, they had never baptized anybody at any time, anywhere, from Genesis to Revelation, in the Word, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It never was done. There's no such record in the Bible. You can't find one person that ever baptized that way. They never baptized anybody. I was talking to Brother David Tell here before he come into baptism in Jesus' name a number of years ago down in the valley. Brother Tell said, Brother Pike, he said, I know you got more scripture for what you're teaching than we have. I said, Brother Tell, you know that you don't have any scripture for what you're teaching. I said, you don't have any Bible at all for what you're teaching. The lady went on and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The last time he was over in Memphis, he was teaching the name Jesus, and his co-workers said he was baptizing in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. The same way with Gene Ewing, another man that Brother Charles Johnson confronted. Brother Gene and all of his party got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ when he realized what was going on. And it's been the same way around the country. I remember through correspondence, I confronted Jack Cole with it just before his death, and Jack didn't know what to do with it. I confronted A.A. Allen with it, and Allen didn't know what to do with it. Confronted Brother Roberts with it, he didn't know what to do with it. But I tell you, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. And nobody ever, at any time, ever baptized anybody in any other name except the name of Jesus Christ. If they'd have baptized him in any other name, they'd been wasting the time. Because remission of sin is in his name. The death and burial is the burial of Jesus Christ, not the Father. It's the death of the Son of God. Amen. You know the Father can't die. The Father tasted death through the body of his Son. His Son was flesh and blood. I know we got a Jesus-only church that teaches that Jesus didn't even have a Father. But that's all wrong. That's wrong teaching. That's error. Paul said, not understanding the truth, they've erred. Jesus came up out of the grave and he stood before Thomas and he stood before the disciples. They looked at him and they said, it is a spirit. Jesus said, my Father is a spirit. John 4:24. My Father is a spirit. He said, but I am not a spirit. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I am the Son of God. I'm the tabernacle of Almighty God. I'm the true image, the manifested image of God the Father, and the only image. For the Bible said there's no other body. Jesus was the head to the many-membered body, and you're the many members. And he was the only head. There is no other head to the church. And that is the Godhead to the church. And the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead, as far as the body is concerned, was Jesus Christ. People who try to tell you that God the Father is a person, that he's got a fleshly body, they don't know what they're talking about. How in the world can you take the Holy Ghost and pour him out if he's flesh and blood? How can you do it? The Bible said he'd pour out the Holy Ghost upon everybody. Then I'll pour out of my spirit upon everybody. How could you ever do that if it was flesh and blood? There is only one body of flesh and blood, and that's the Son of God, which was flesh and bones that came up out of the grave. And he was the temple of the Holy Ghost. He was the temple in the fullness. Every bit of God was in Jesus. Every bit of him was in him. There wasn't none that wasn't in him. And everything that God poured into Jesus at his death, he poured into the many-membered body of the church at Calvary. He was the head to the many members. And it's going to take his name to the body if you ever become part of the body. And if you ever get into the body, into the membership, you're going to be baptized in by the Holy Ghost. They're not going to baptize you in water because you can't get in like that. You can't get in like that. I said the other night I wanted to preach on doctrine of baptism. Water, blood, and spirit. Paul said, go on to the doctrine of baptism. All right, notice this now. They say that Jesus never had a father. As far as we teach, I believe he had a father. They say that he was the one and the only. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You say, Brother Pike, are you oneness, or are you threeness, or are you two-ness, or what are you? I'm a Christian. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, I believe the Trinity is wrong, and I believe the oneness people are wrong, too. Now, I believe that with my heart. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. When it comes to believing the Bible said there's one God. There is but one Lord. There is but one faith. There is but one baptism. I believe that. Now, when it comes to believing in oneness, if that's what you call me, because I believe what God's Word says, then you can call me what you want to. The Bible said they were called Christians at Antioch. I've heard people holler about oneness. They go around saying, I'm not oneless, I'm not oneless. And they don't even know what they're saying. The word oneless ain't even what it is anyway. It's oneness with God, not oneless. They'll go around and say, I'm not oneless. Well, I'm a Christian. If anybody's in question as to what I am, I'm a Christian. Now then, it says here in the Scriptures that this beast that rose up out of the waters, he blasphemed the name of God. And it said he blasphemed the tabernacle of God. Who is the tabernacle of God? You're the tabernacle. God said, Solomon, I'll build a building through you, by your hand. And I will place my spirit in the temple. And I'll place my name upon the temple. And it shall come to pass that whosoever looketh toward this temple, if he call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be healed. And Daniel, when he went to pray, Daniel knew that very thing. So he turned his eyes toward the temple. And he prayed with all of his heart that God would hear his prayer. That was the type of heavenly Jerusalem, which Paul said is the mother of us all. We turn our face toward the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the true temple of the living God that John saw coming down. He said, ye are lively stones. Ye are lively stones. James, when they had the council at Jerusalem, he stood up before the multitude. He said, brethren, this agrees with what the prophet said, that I will return in the last days, saith God. I will build up the fallen down tabernacle of David, which was the house of Solomon. I will place my name upon it. Ye are the lively stones. Paul said Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that the preachers and builders rejected. That's become the head of the corner. And he said, ye are built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God the Spirit, for God inhabits the praise of his people. So then, he said, ye are a city of light that set on a hill that cannot be hid. One night I'd like to get into it and talk about the city, but that's not what I want to talk about tonight. So then we are the lively stones. God dwells with us. He's put his name upon the tabernacle. And what did it say? John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel it meet to stir up your pure minds. For God has showed me shortly that I must put off this my tabernacle. And so then the tabernacle of God is among men. John saw Jesus Christ, his body, coming down out of heaven, which was the new Jerusalem, the city in which God dwelt. And he saw it was the tabernacle of God that had the name. So then, when Jesus went away, he said, ye are the light of the world. And ye are the tabernacle. Ye are the lively stone. God has turned to put a wise master builder there. For Paul said, I am sent unto the Gentiles, and I am a wise master builder. This is the blueprint right here. And he's building us up into the likeness of God. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That brings the name back to us, don't it? These builders want to put their names up everywhere you look. It's this brother's name and this brother's name and this brother's name. And the Bible said he'd be the head of the church. You see Church of God, Assembly of God. You see Catholic. You see some man's name. But where is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said he shall be the chief cornerstone. I tell you where it's at. The builders rejected it. They put their name in the place of it. And Jesus looked at that building that they built. He said it took a long time to build it, but every stone shall come down. There shall not be left one upon another. But he spoke of a building that would be bonded together with a more of charity, which is love, the bond that holds us into perfectness, as that which is the head, the perfectness of God comes to it. So then it said that this beast blasphemed the tabernacle of God. Where is the tabernacle of God that's among men? The world hasn't discerned its body, and the Bible said because of this many are sickly, many sleep among you, because they don't know there's healing and power in the members of Christ. But it said he blasphemed the tabernacle of God. And that's what they're doing. You take the name Jesus, and if a person will really look towards you with faith, he said if you'll take his hand, there'll be two of you. Any two of you agree as touching anything, the Father will do it. Because you're looking toward the temple with a name upon it, and they can be healed. But you know what they'll do? Instead of doing that, they'll trample over the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. And they'll come and they'll blaspheme the worthy name of which you call. And they'll blaspheme the name of the tabernacle or the body of Almighty God. They'll say, oh, it's just Jesus only. The Bible said that people like a bunch of hobnobs said you'll go blundering right across a place where angels fear to tread. Said you speak evil of dignities and things you don't know nothing about. Angels, which are greater in power and might, dare not to bring railing accusation. That's right. And yet people will do it. Said being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind. They'll say, I, Jesus only. Don't you know you ought not do that? Jesus said not to even touch the anointed of God. That's the tabernacle of God. And he said, in that day I'll say that you blaspheme me. You blaspheme my name. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. Said, inasmuch as you've done it to them, you grieve the Holy Spirit, because they were the temple of the Holy Spirit. High priest that can be felt by the feeling of the infirmities of them that you pounced upon with your evil. They said, Lord, when do we see you like this and do all these things to you? He said, if you did it at least to one of these were the members of my body. Judge the world. The saints will judge the world by that which the world does to them, whether it be good or evil. And God will judge them accordingly. So it said they blaspheme the name of God and they blaspheme the tabernacle of God. Said they open their mouth and blaspheme. Who done it? He said it was the brood beast that done it. Those that was foreordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. How? With their rock and roll. With their big time this and a big time that. Turning the grace of God into something to play with. Into lasciviousness. That's right. So that he tells us in the Word that these were before of old ordained under this condemnation. Jude says that. These are brood beasts. Made to be taken and destroyed. They come from the beast in the garden. They're going to the beast of Revelation, which is the head. They came from the seed of the beast in the garden. They're going to grow up into their head, which is in Revelation. We come from Adam, which was called the Son of God. We're going to head up into the head, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second man, Adam. Over here, because we are the image of Christ. But these brood beasts, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, saying things they don't have any business saying. They blaspheme the name of God. They blaspheme the tabernacle of God. All right? What did he say? He said, this beast. They said, let us build an image to it. What is the image? It's a three-God teaching. I want to clear this up tonight, folks. I preached last night on the great whore that set upon many waters. Tonight on the mark of the beast. Now then, said that he had power to cause this image to speak. That means that there is a religious body somewhere that's going to be like Cain was, going to offer a sacrifice up, and God ain't going to accept it. He accepted Abel's, but he said Cain evil's at the door. I can't accept yours. Your conscience not right with God. So then there's an evil beast somewhere, an image somewhere, that's coming up in a religious way. He said that this image would have power to speak. Listen, Satan is going to see to it that the Jesus name people are put to silence. You mark my words. They killed them in the early church. They destroyed them. The beast never rested until it killed all of them. Killed Paul about 70 A.D. Then over there they killed John. John was the last one of them. They finally got rid of John, put him off on the Isle of Patmos. And he finally went off. That was the last one that went off the scene of action over there. Then at Nice, 325 A.D., when they had no spiritual interpreter of the Bible, nobody to tell them what God meant, they come along, they tried to interpret the Bible and they couldn't do it. They got together and said, well, it must be three of them. That's all we can figure out. The Bible says the scriptures of no private interpretation. Somebody said, oh, it's a plain, a wayfaring fool. Need not err therein. That's not Bible. You ain't even quoting the Bible right when you say that. And that's not Bible. Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, it's a great mystery. And said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. And said, at the sounding of the last trumpet, the mysteries would be finished. So then we see that that beast is going to silence the name of Jesus in the earth if there's any way. I wished I had 5 hours tonight to see the thing through. I'm trying to compact and bring it around. It makes it difficult. But anyway, let me say this. It was not the Jews that put Jesus Christ to death. Now, I want you to think on these things tonight. Give me a little more time here. It was not the Jews that put Jesus to death. They said it's not lawful for us to put a man to death. So the Roman powers put him to death. And did you know it's just been recently that the Pope of Rome went to the rabbi and he said to the Jews, we know that thou art not guilty of the blood of Jesus. You say, Brother Pike, why did God cast them in the hour of darkness? Why did he stop dealing with them? Because they said, even though it's not lawful for us to put a man to death, yet let his blood be upon us and our children. That means that they were guilty of the blood. That's why Eichmann killed them like he did. That's why they had such a hard time. Jesus cut them off that he might graft us who are wild by nature in. But he said, the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Said, for out of Zion shall come forth a deliverer. Did you know that in the church somewhere God's got a deliverer that's going to the Jews? He's going to bring deliverance to them. For out of Zion shall come forth a deliverer. And he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, the Bible says. And he said, the whole house of Israel shall be saved. So then they said, we're guilty of the blood. We claim the blood. And God cut them off. He let them be guilty of the blood to give us opportunity to be saved. But Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the revival to the world or the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection or life from the dead? When the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And you know it's fulfilled. You know the days of the Gentiles are over. He's beginning to turn back to the Jew. And friend, that means that that is why the Pope of Rome went to them and said, you're not guilty of the blood. Isn't that something? All these many years, God let them feel like they were guilty of the blood. And then the very man that they have confidence in, which is Antichrist, God sent him to them at the time appointed. When he got ready to turn back to them, he wanted them to have faith and know they wasn't guilty of the blood. He wanted them to know that the Catholic people was the one that killed him. That the Roman powers killed him. So then here's what he done. He sent the rabbi over there to the Pope. They had a conference. And then the Pope said to him, said, you're not guilty of the blood. Said, we the Roman people know that we did it. So he forgave their sins. Oh, I wish I could bring this out tonight in the way, in perfect revelation to where you could see it. I hope and pray to the Lord that some of you got on a mailing list to where we can mail you parts of Revelation and send you tracts and things on the real revelation of Christ. All right, now then, it said that this beast blasphemed the tabernacle of God. Blasphemed the name of God. Is that what it said? Said, and this beast had power. Power to do what? To let the image speak. That is the only religious body in the world that's going to receive power to be able to preach. That's what he's speaking about. Said that this religious body would be able to witness, testify, preach, do whatever they wanted to. because this beast would give them power to speak. But he would silence us. He would stop us from preaching. We'd have no power to speak. We'd have no liberty to speak like we've got. We've got freedom of speech in America now. But when the beast takes over, and if you'll give me a few minutes tonight, I'll show you who he is and how he's going to take over. But it'll take a few minutes for me to be able to tell you. So then he said that he had power to give the image, the voice of speech. But the tabernacle of God, what did he do to it? He blasphemed it. The name of the Lord, he blasphemed it. The Jews didn't put Jesus to death, but the Catholics did. And history repeats itself. Time runs in a cycle. Goes around in three loops. One, two, three. Wish we could show it to you tonight. But anyway, that same Roman power was going to come back in authority. I made a prediction that he would come to the United States in the year of 66. Whether you believe it or not, God showed it to me. I predicted he'd do it, and he done it. He come in the year of 66 because I saw it in Revelation. Just as I told some of you, when I saw the death of Brother Branham, I saw it by vision in Florida, told Brother J.T. Parnell. I saw all these things together. The same time, the death of my co-worker's mother here, whom I'd never met, over in the state of Illinois. God brought it all about, showed me when Brother Branham's ministry would be finished and what would take place and just how it would end. And it came to pass just exactly the way he showed me. Showed me the Pope of Rome would come to the United States. Another thing he showed me, that the foreign nations would cash in their American currency because American money was no more good than it was worthless. And the papers immediately after I predicted it, wasn't just a little while after I made the prediction, that the paper stated for the first time in the history of the world that France was cashing in American currency. Never happened in the history of the world. Cashed in half of their American currency. And then Johnson got so upset he almost turned a half a dollar into a penny. That's right, putting copper into it. Got so upset he tried to salvage all the silver he could. And then wanted to change the capital. Now you say, what has that got to do with it? Just wait just a few minutes and I'll show you what it's got to do with it. If you can bear with me long enough to get a revelation tonight. I don't know where you can or not. But if you can, I'll show you just exactly what happened to it. So then the beast spoke to a religious image and gave power and authority to a religious image. Is that right? That's right. God's raising up a church. You can't put new wine in old bottles. You got to have new bottles. You put it in the old bottles, these old bottles will burst. It has to be new bottles. That's the reason the children went in and the parents died in the wilderness. They couldn't get it. They never will be able to get it. Now then, I tell you, I'm going to stop before I get through here because I can see some people, they just ain't going to wait for it. That's all there is to it. They're too busy. And they got too much carnal mind, you know, and they're too busy. They got too many things to do. The Bible said take time to be holy. And some of you'd stay here all night, but some of you wouldn't do it. There ain't no need to be trying to tell it to you. You ain't going to do it. Paul said, I would speak unto you as spiritual, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, he said, I can't do it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I work today. I work today too, in case you won't know. I ain't telling this to upbraid you, but I worked yesterday. I worked today trying to help my brother because he's pushed up on some work. Worked hard. Besides that, offered fasting and prayer to God up in the night and up in the day. And still come out here and preach after 4 weeks to try to give you a revelation. And then so I tell you, folks, we better wake up. We better get stirred within our soul. We're going to stand before God and tell God why we couldn't do this and why we couldn't do that. Then when we stand up there, God's going to bring some of the others up like Paul that worked and preached the gospel too. And then where are we going to be then? Oh, let me tell you something. The Bible said, take time to be holy. You said, I ain't got time. It says, take time to be holy. That's why we can't teach you. The Bible said, be easy to teach. I start teaching here and then I have to get stirred up and start preaching. Can't teach you because I feel that carnality. Still carnal. Now then I know I see right now, I ain't going to be able to get in the message. I just got the foundation of it laid. I'll have to close up. But anyway, I'm going to try to cut off here by saying this. We are living in a terrible age, in a terrible time. In a terrible time. We are living in the end of the world. In the end of the world. I wish I could have went ahead tonight, and I had plans to do it. I kept feeling the relinquishing, but I kept riding over it, But I'm not going to try to write over it anymore. Until we get to where we can receive it, there's no need of trying to give it to you anyway. You can't get it. The Bible said a man can't receive anything except it be given him of God. I just have to give you whatever I can, whenever I can. You say, Brother Pike, who are you talking to? Not all of you. Some of you are not like that. Some of you sit here all night. You say, well, why don't you give it to us? Because it'll ruin the service. Hey, look at the congregation, how it fell off tonight. I let them go at 9:30 last night. Because I said some things they didn't like. Some of them went away. One of them stood outside the door out there, made a smart remark, never did come into the church. But I tell you, hell will be hot for him. Them people that's mocking these things, that's going around speaking evil of dignities, hell's going to be hot on their feet. When Brother Pike leaves this place, judgment's going to strike some homes. I've never been anywhere. This word has never been preached anywhere what God didn't visit with judgment after it. And you watch and see if I'm telling you the truth. There'll be judgments going to fall at somebody's doorsteps because of their foolishness not going on with the Lord. All right, I didn't mean to get back to preaching to you. I wanted to teach to you tonight, but Bible said be easy to teach. We just somehow ain't got to that state. That's all there is to it. All right, now then, let's close out right here. We know the name Jesus is the name of God. Maybe we've got that much over tonight. We also know that 325 A.D. was when they started preaching three gods and baptism in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There never was anybody baptized like that before. Not from Genesis all the way to Revelation. I challenge anybody anywhere, anytime. They could come in the middle of the morning and show me one place in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation where anybody ever got baptized in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, other than the fact that it was the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll take my Bible and I'll eat it page by page. You bring it to me. If I don't rip the pages out and start gnawing on them, I ain't standing here. There ain't one place in there. Not one place in there. But I can show you place after place after place after place where they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So then 325 A.D. at Nice, at the Nicene Creed, they started off that dogma. You say, Brother Pike, why has the Baptist got it? Why has the Presbyterian got it? Why has the Pentecostal got it? You want me to tell you why? Trying to come to a close, you want me to tell you why they've got it? Let me tell you why they got it. Because Martin Luther, that come out from the Catholic Church, he's the one that started the movement of the Protestant religion in America. And that's the only baptism he ever knew about. That was the only one he ever knew about. When God started restoring the church in part, that was the first step of restoration, the just shall live by faith. He didn't know any other baptism. And God has restored it step by step by step by step till we come right back down to the fullness of the stature that he might bring the head, which is the name, to the body that he might rapture it. That's exactly why you've got that. And as long as you have it, you're Catholic. I don't care what you do. You're Catholic and you're a member of the body of the beast. You can shout, holler, scream, and do what you want to, but you're still Catholic. As long as you got that kind of faith and that kind of conviction, you have no faith in the Word of God. The Bible said that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the only salvation is through the name, by the faith of the Word. And if you've got faith in the Catholic dogma, that makes you a Catholic. Now you listen to that, folks. Paul said we use great plainness of speech. I'm going to use great plainness of speech through this meeting. God told me not to make a show out of this thing. He said he's had nothing but shows. And said I don't want a show out of it. And I've come over here not to make a show, but to tell you the truth. Now, I know it might kind of sting a little, but I'm going to tell you just like it is. Now then, you see this word. Faith in this word is the only thing can save you. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. If you've got faith in the word, then the word is your head and you're a member of that body. If you've got faith in baptism in the name Father, the name Son, and the name Holy Ghost instead of the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you're Catholic. I don't care what you say, you're Catholic. Somebody said, I don't like that kind of preaching. I didn't come here to see what kind of preaching that I could preach to please you. I didn't come here. I know we got evangelists running all over the world to try to see how many followers they can get. I'm not looking for followers. When God sent a prophet through the land, he stepped into the land and he said, it's thus saith the Lord. It was thus saith the Lord to the kings. It was thus saith the Lord to the people. And that's just exactly the way the prophet left it. Thus saith the Lord. And this is thus saith the Lord tonight. And I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, if you follow that doctrine, you're going into that image of the beast. You're going into it because that's what it is. Now I'm going to say this in close. I was over in Alabama. A man came into the store talking to a friend of mine that was a Jesus name preacher that worked in the store. Also talking to another man that was a Baptist man that was a friend of his. This man that came in was a Catholic. He went over to this Baptist man and he talked with him. He said, "You know," said, "you're really Catholic." The Baptist man said, "Why, that's absurd." He said, "You know I'm not Catholic." He said, "Why, sure you're Catholic." "Oh," he said, "I'm not Catholic." He said, "Yes, you're Catholic." He said, "You're not our enemy." He said, "You come out from the Catholic Church," pointed back to Martin Luther's time. I brought out the mother harlot last night. Said, "You come out from the Catholic Church and said, we've been after you ever since and said, we got you." The man said, "I just can't sin." He said, "You teach the same baptism that we teach." Said, "You got the same," said, "you got our water baptism." Said, "You teach it." Said, "That man right over there teaches Jesus' name." Said, "That's our enemy right yonder." Now, you can believe it from me, believe it from the Word, or believe it from the Catholic member of the brute beast. That's what he said. That was the essence of his speech. Now, folks, when the Catholic people themselves come and stand before you and tell you to your own face that you're Catholic, I think it's time to receive it then. So I'm going to leave this with you tonight, that wherever your faith is, that's what you are. A man's just what his believing is. If you believe in heresy and ideas and dogmas and theology, that's what you are. You're a bastard child, like I preached last night. If you believe in the Word of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, and you've been born again, regenerated, and you are a child of God and a member of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll never pass away. You say, "Brother Pike, you sure are going to lose a lot of followers." Jesus lost a lot of them too. You say, "But you're going to lose some of the church." Jesus said, "Father, I thank thee that I have not lost one of them. Every one you give me, I will raise him up in the last day." You say, "But some of those things hurt." I imagine it hurt when Jesus kicked the money tables over, took the whip in his hand, called them a bunch of bastard children, a crooked generation of vipers, and told them to get out of the house that made it a den of thieves. I imagine that hurt. That's hard preaching. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we use great plainness of speech. Folks, there's been a lot of playing around. A lot of playing around. I made a statement one night when Brother Franklin Walden was right here when I come up to speak. I said, "The Bible said they sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play." And that's what they've done. They've risen up to play. I said here the other night, God couldn't feed them till he got them to sit down. Said, "Make the multitude sit down," and then he broke the bread. So until you folks can sit down and listen, you'll never get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. It took Paul many years in the desert to get the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's taken me many years of solitude to get it. And if you think I could come out here in 10 and 15 minutes and 20 minutes and give you something it took me 7 or 8 years to get, you're wrong. Now, you might get somebody up here that's going to do a jig for you and do a dance and cause you all to shout and holler. And that's all right if it's anointed of God. But I tell you, that ain't the revelation of Jesus Christ. It ain't going to translate you. That's just the milk of the Word. You're still babes in Christ. So you're going to have to get together. And the ones that really want it's going to have to come and really sit down and make up their mind they're going to listen and get in there. That's the only thing I can say to you tonight. May the Lord bless you. You say you're scolding me, Brother Pine. I don't mean it like that. I just want you to know the truth. It's time we growed up. We run around here. One will go over here and he'll counsel with this brother. And another go over here. He'll counsel that brother. And they'll hash it out and hash it out and hash it out. When down in their heart the Holy Spirit says, "You know better than to do a thing like that. You know better than to play around like a little child with the gospel." But they still go on and do it. First news you know, someone's going to lose their children. Their baby's going to die on them. Their wife is going to turn to a whore. Or something's going to happen to the husband. You watch what I'm telling you. Every time God has sent me to a church or sent me to a people with the gospel, something happened to them people when they rejected it, or something happened to close the church up. Something has always happened, and it always will. There's no record in the Bible where a prophet ever went into a city sent by God but what something didn't follow. If you think I'm wrong, check it out and see. And I came to you by the leading of the Lord. I've come to you in the name of the Lord. They asked me to come to this church. I don't know how many times different ones come and ask me. The leaders of the church. For a year or so,
But I never come because the Holy Spirit said, son, don't you go because they won't receive it. You want me to tell you just how it was? Said they will not receive it. Said there's one brother there that's standing against you and he's in your way and he's in God's way. And if you don't stop him, I'll move him. That's right. And said the church world there will not receive it. And that's just exactly what he showed me when I come over here this last time in a dream. Showed me the people just wanted to be sprinkled. Some of you were sitting here the other night when I told it. Showed me the people just wanted to be sprinkled, and that's about it. Give me 15 minutes sprinkling, let me go. But I told them I don't sprinkle, and I tell you again, I'm not Methodist. I'm not Catholic. I don't sprinkle. At last, I finally got a group of them together in the vision that God showed me. Some of them just finally pushed all over the rest of them and said, we want it. And I got a group of them together. Saw some of them in the vision. Saw their face. Saw who they were. Saw the others. And they finally just pushed over and finally brought me a big bat and said, is this deep enough? Well, that was the essence of it. And I'm going to tell you this. Then when I went to baptize some of them, you know what they done? When I went to baptize them, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and showed me that some of them wasn't even Christians. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of them that I saw in the vision were some of you shouting people. I saw them face to face. And they wasn't even Christians. I fell under condemnation when I started to put them in water because they wasn't even Christians. Now, you see why God showed me I was going to a picture show? You see why he stopped me? Showed me I was going to a movie and he didn't want it? But I don't want no show. That's right. Folks, we're going to have to get away from it. I'm telling you the truth. You say, Brother Pike, what about this building? You know it ain't got nothing to do with this building. Jesus called that the Father's house back there, and you know he did. Even when he made a den of thieves out of it, he said it's still the Father's house. There's nothing wrong with this tabernacle. It's still God's house, and you know it's God's house. But I tell you, it's the condition of some of the people. That's right. So folks, let's get straightened out now. Let's do right. Let's love the Lord. And if you really want a meeting, we'll have a meeting. If you don't, Brother Pike will be gone in a night or two, and that'll be the end of it. Whatever follows be up between you and your Lord. Because I got invitations all around the United States. But I've come here to you to try my best to share with you what I got. Tonight, I'm closing in the middle of my message. Wouldn't it took me over about 25 minutes. I really got it, but the tide went down on me. And I'm going to say this. You might not understand it, but when Jesus went into the land of the Gergesenes, you know what he done? They said, depart out of our coast. He left. He left. You say, we haven't said depart, Brother Pike. When your spirits don't give heed to the word, you're saying depart. You're just sitting there just like something empty looking at me with your minds on going home. Your minds on the minute that I'm going to close. The Bible said that Jesus perceived their thoughts in his spirit. When your thoughts start like that, I perceive your thoughts. Now, when I just feel one or two of your thoughts, I just push on over. But when it clicks to this, and clicks to this, and clicks to this, and clicks to this, then there ain't no need to preach no more. Let's stand together. Lord, bless you. If you're upset at me, pray, and the Lord will give you grace. Father, Lord of heaven, as we come to the end of the service, we're grateful tonight for this that we've been able to tell the brethren. And we love you, Jesus, and we love the brethren. And Father, it's become very difficult to expound the gospel around the world. You said that they would look for their own teachers, that they had itchy ears and they wouldn't endure sound doctrine, Lord, that they just couldn't sit through it anymore. And Father, it's come to that age, Lord, when unless we've got a jingle and a dance, Father, they just won't endure it. They won't listen to the word anymore. And you said because faith comes by hearing the word, there'd be no faith on the earth. There'd be sickness. There'd be sorrow because of lack of faith. There'd be heart failure. There'd be oppression. There'd be devil possession. Lord, it would grow worse because faith would be pushed out of the heart of men because of disciplines and ideologies, doctrines of men. Said to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils instead of the doctrine of the Bible. Some doctrine, Lord, you said that the devils had stepped through a denominational system. Father, and that they'd give heed to seducing spirits and leave the word. That they'd fall away, and Lord, that they'd deny the faith, and Father, they're doing it in this day, falling away from grace. But I ask you, Lord, to collect these few that's sincere and godly. Collect these that are holy. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to do it. Hallelujah. Let's have a closing song here, Brother Ben, if you will.